There's this moment in like almost every performance marketer's career where you realize you are basically driving this incredible high-performance sports car, but you aren't allowed to touch the engine.
Oh, yeah, the classic bottleneck.
Right. Like you want to launch a new retargeting campaign or you need to track a specific conversion event and bam, you hit a wall. You have to file a dev ticket and just, well, wait 2 weeks for an engineering sprint just to drop a tiny snippet of code on a confirmation page.
It is incredibly frustrating, and honestly, it's a massive drain on ROI.
It really is. But today, we are giving you, the listener, the keys to fix the engine yourself, because we're talking directly to you, that mid-level marketer who is ready to step up into a performance marketing specialist role. You really need to own your tracking, your tagging, and your analytics.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the ability to deploy and, actually manage your own tracking architecture, that isn't just a neat trick for your resume. I mean, it is the core competency that separates marketers who just passively react to data from the ones who actually drive campaign performance.
Exactly.
If you are waiting on a developer every single time a platform updates its pixel requirements, your campaigns are just bleeding money in the meantime.
Spot on. So for this deep dive, we are pulling from a masterclass source today, specifically a chapter called Remarketing Pixels, Google Ads, Meta, and Multi-Platform Tag Deployment.
It's a great piece of source material,
Yeah.
super dense, but very practical.
Very. And our mission today is to give you a highly practical, example-driven shortcut to deploying, managing, and perfectly translating multi-platform pixels across your entire ecosystem. So we're going to look at why your container might actually be a ticking time bomb.
Which is more common than you'd think.
Oh, totally.
Duh.
We'll also cover why copying and pasting code is a terrible habit and how to build this sort of universal translator for your data so different ad platforms finally stop fighting over event names.
That taxonomy part is huge. But before we start slapping tracking pixels all over a website, we really have to talk about the foundation.
Right. The source material points out that how you manage your platform IDs pretty much dictates your entire Google Tag Manager experience.
Yeah, we have to establish the golden rule of container hygiene right out of the gate. So every single ad platform you use gives you a numeric identifier, right?
Right, like an account number.
Exactly. Google Ads gives you a conversion ID. Meta issues a pixel ID, LinkedIn assigns a partner ID. And this is how the platforms map the data flowing out of your website back to your specific advertiser account.
So if you are listening to this right now, I want you to think about your own GTM container, because I guarantee a large portion of you have your Metapixel ID, that long string of random numbers, just type manually into like 10 different tag configuration fields.
Oh, easily 10, sometimes way more.
I mean, I've done it myself. You'd create a page view tag, paste the ID, create an add to carts tag, paste the ID again. It takes 2 seconds. So why is the source so adamant that this is such a beginner pitfall?
Well, because hard coding those IDs creates a really fragile, unscalable architecture. I mean, think about the life cycle of a typical performance marketing account. Agencies get hired and fired.
Yeah.
Ad accounts get restricted, they need to be rebuilt. Business units consolidate. The moment you need to swap in a new Metapixel ID, you are forced to manually hunt down every single instance of that old ID across your entire container.
Wait, but if I miss an ID during an update, doesn't GTM flag that? Like, doesn't it tell me I have mismatched IDs in there?
Not at all. GTM has literally no idea what your active Metapixel ID is supposed to be.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If you update 9 tags and just, forget the 10th, that orphan tag just continues to fire silently. It functions perfectly from a technical standpoint,
Yeah.
but it's sending stale data to an old disconnected pixel.
And you just don't get an error message.
None. You'll just slowly realize your remarketing lists for that specific event are shrinking and your optimization algorithm is degrading, and you'll have no idea why.
Geez. So it's like, okay, it's like updating your address in one central post office registry instead of calling every single magazine subscription, your bank, and every single relative individually to tell them you moved. You want one edit that propagates everywhere automatically.
That is the perfect analogy, yes.
So how do we actually build that central registry in Tag Manager?
You use what is called a constant variable. So in your GTM workspace, you navigate over to the variables section and you create a new user-defined variable. You just select the type constant.
Okay, it sounds simple enough.
It is. A constant variable does exactly one thing. It holds a static string of text or numbers that never changes dynamically.
Yeah.
So you paste your pixel ID into that value field and you name the variable something incredibly obvious like a Metapixel ID.
Got it. Then, when I go to build my actual tags, I never touch my keyboard's number pad again. I just open the dropdown and reference that metapixel ID variable.
Exactly. That is the crucial shift in workflow. You're implementing single-point credential management. So if a new agency takes over and brings their own ad account, you just open that one constant variable, replace the string of numbers once, hit save, and
every single meta tag in your entire container updates instantly.
Instantly. It's beautiful.
Okay. The foundation is solid. We have our credentials centralized. Let's actually start deploying the tags. The two heaviest hitters in performance marketing are obviously Google Ads and Meta. So let's look at Google first. The source makes a really specific distinction about the remarketing tag.
Right, yeah. We really need to separate the Google Ads remarketing tag from the conversion tracking tag because they serve completely different algorithmic purposes.
Okay, break that down for me.
Well, the conversion tag is like a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
It fires only on a very specific action, like a purchase confirmation or maybe a lead form submission, and it reports that distinct value back to the campaign.
Well, yeah.
But the remarketing tag, that's more like a floodlight.
A floodlight, okay.
Yeah, it's designed to fire on almost every page, recording site visits against your conversion ID, to build the audience lists that you use for retargeting in your search display or, you know, performance max campaigns.
I'm looking at the setup steps in the source right now, and it requires that conversion ID we just stored in our constant variable, the one that usually looks like AW, followed by a string of numbers, which you find in the Audience Manager section of the Google Ads platform, right?
Yep, that's exactly where it lives.
But there is a dependency here that I really want to drill into. The source says the remarketing tag relies on the base Google tag. What is the base Google tag actually doing?
So this gets into the mechanics of cross-browser data quality. The base Google tag, which usually starts with GT or AEW, handles the foundational heavy lifting for tracking in a privacy-first web.
Meaning cookies.
Exactly. When it loads, it establishes first-party cookies on your domain. It creates the infrastructure that allows Google to recognize a user as they navigate from your homepage to a product page to the checkout.
So if I skip the base tag.
If you try to deploy a remarketing tag without that base tag present and firing first, your audience building is going to be severely degraded because the browser will likely treat the tracking as a cross-site third-party request, which browsers like Safari will just block immediately.
That makes a lot of sense. The base tag is essentially laying down the tracks before the remarketing train can even leave the station.
Great way to put it.
So once I set both of those up and publish the container, I immediately want to see if it's working. Like, if I'm building this, I want immediate gratification. I want to log into Google Ads and see my remarketing list growing right then and there.
Well, you are going to be very disappointed if you expect it in real time.
Oh, really? Why?
To verify the audience is building, you check the Audience Manager in Google Ads, specifically the Your Data Segments tab. But the platform requires 24 to 48 hours for the estimated list size to actually populate after the tag begins firing correctly.
Wait, 24 to 48 hours?
Yeah. And this is a massive trap for junior marketers. If you launch a retargeting campaign an hour after publishing your GTM container, that campaign is going to just sit there with zero impressions because the list it is targeting hasn't been processed by Google's servers yet.
Wow. Good to know. So Google is kind of the silent observer, quietly building lists over a couple of days. Let's talk about the other side of the coin, Meta. And this is where I have to challenge the source material just a bit.
Oh.
Yeah, because I have seen incredibly experienced performance marketers just grab the Meta FAQ script, open a custom HTML tag in Tag Manager, paste it in, and hit publish. It's fast, it goes straight to the source code, and it skips all the extra GTM configuration steps. Why is the masterclass so aggressive about dropping that habit and using the community template gallery instead?
Look, I completely understand why marketers do it. Yep. Copy and pasting the raw script feels like you are getting closer to the metal. You know?
Yeah.
You bypass the GTM interface and just inject the code directly.
Exactly. It feels efficient.
But what you are really doing is bypassing every single safety net Tag Manager offers. The community template gallery hosts the official maintained MetaPixel template. When you use custom HTML, Tag Manager treats that block of code as a black box. It literally cannot validate what is inside.
But why do I need it validated if I copied it straight from Meta's official documentation?
Because you aren't just copying a base page view tag forever. Eventually, you have to modify that code to pass dynamic variables, right?
Right.
Like the price of a product or the name of an item. When you edit raw JavaScript in a custom HTML block, one missed comma, one unclosed bracket, and the entire tag breaks.
And GTM won't tell me.
Nope. Custom HTL gives you zero built-in parameter warnings.
Ah, I see. But the official template gives me an actual user interface.
Yes, exactly. The official meta template provides a clean, sandboxed configuration UI. It has standardized dropdowns for standard events like purchase or add to cart. It provides dedicated fields for parameters. It guides you to input exactly what the platform requires, using your new constant variable for the pixel ID, of course.
Right, tying it back to the foundation.
It protects you from syntax errors and forces standardization.
And standardization is critical because, let's be real, getting a base page view pixel to fire on all pages is the easy part. The events where our ad campaigns actually live or die, the conversion events that feed the bidding algorithms, those are incredibly strict. And the source calls out Meta's purchase events specifically. It is famously picky.
Picky is putting it mildly. When we are dealing with the Metapixel purchase standard event, there is zero room for interpretation. Meta's documentation mandates exactly two mandatory parameters for a purchase to be accepted by their system, currency and value.
Okay, let's break those down, because currency isn't just like putting a dollar sign in front of the number, right?
Yeah, far from it. The currency parameter must be a valid ISO 4217 string.
Which is?
It's the international standard for currency codes. It expects three capitalized letters, so USD for US dollars, UUR for euros, JPY for Japanese yen.
Got it, and the value.
The value parameter must be an integer or a float. In non-developer terms, an integer is a whole number, like 50. A float is a number with a decimal point, like 50.99.
So no symbols.
Right. It cannot contain alphabetical characters, it cannot contain commas, and it definitely cannot contain currency symbols.
It's like walking up to a bank teller machine and just punching in, give me 50. The machine is going to freeze. It needs to know if that's $50, 50 euros, or 50 yen before it dispenses anything. Meta's optimization algorithm is basically that ATM.
That's a great way to visualize it.
But what happens if I mess it up? Like, what if I send the value of 50.99, but I completely forget to configure the currency parameter?
Oh, this is where campaigns just bleed money. If you omit the currency parameter, Meta will still record the event itself. It will see that a purchase happened, but it drops the value entirely.
Wait, it just ignores the money you made? Even if I sent the number 50.99?
Yes, because to a global algorithmic auction, the number 50.99 is totally meaningless without knowing the currency. If it assumes USD, but the transaction was actually in Mexican pesos, its entire understanding of your return on ad spend is broken. So when you drop the value, you break Meta's value-based delivery algorithm.
That is terrifying.
It is. You're paying the platform to find high-value customers, but you are literally blinding it to the actual value of the conversions it drives.
So how do we validate this mechanically? How do I look at my website and guarantee I am not making that ATM mistake?
You start your validation process on the client side using the Facebook Pixel Helper. It is a free Chrome extension. You put your GTM container into preview mode, you run a test transaction on your website, and you click the extension icon.
And what am I looking for?
You're looking for a yellow warning triangle next to the purchase event. That triangle specifically parses the network payload and calls out missing required parameters. It will explicitly tell you you are missing currency.
Okay, so if I run a test purchase, check the extension, and there is a green check mark instead of a yellow triangle, I can just close my laptop and call it a day.
Absolutely not.
No.
No. And the source material highlights this as a major point of failure. The Pixel Helper only proves that the browser attempted to fire the payload. It shows client-side intent. It does not prove server-side reality.
But if the extension says my browser fired the tag, why would Meta's server disagree?
Because network requests get blocked, ad blockers strip out parameters, or there could be an issue with how your specific pixel ID is configured to actually receive data. You must log into the Meta Events Manager, specifically the Test Events tab.
Okay.
You watch the live server log. That is the only way to ensure Meta servers actually receive the data packet, parse the value and currency correctly, and match it to your specific ad account without errors.
Browser intent versus server reality. I love that phrasing. That distinction alone is probably worth the price of admission here. So, okay, we have Google Ads building our remarketing lists, and we have Meta flawlessly parsing our revenue data. But most mid-level marketers don't stop at just two platforms.
Very true. Usually there's a third or a fourth.
Exactly. When you scale campaigns to a B2B network like LinkedIn, the technical deployment is beautifully similar, right? We grab the LinkedIn Insight Tag 2.0 from the template gallery, drop in our partner ID using our constant variable, and we're seemingly good to go. But the source highlights a massive new compliance risk here.
Yeah, the technical implementation is practically identical, but the context of the data you are tracking introduces a severe privacy trap. LinkedIn's data policy is incredibly explicit and strict regarding sensitive information.
What counts as sensitive?
They actively prohibit you from firing the insight tag on pages where users are managing financial accounts, completing sensitive personal transactions, or booking medical appointments.
Ah, so the mechanics of the tag are safe, but the environment it fires in is dangerous. How do we functionally guarantee we aren't sending sensitive medical or financial URLs to LinkedIn? I mean, I can't just hope the content team doesn't build a new patient portal and forget to tell them.
Hope is not a strategy. You build the compliance directly into your GTM architecture using trigger scoping, instead of just attaching an all pages trigger to the LinkedIn tag and, you know, hoping for the best. You create exceptions.
Walk me through what that exception trigger actually looks like in the interface.
Okay, so you go to your triggers and you create a new one. Let's call it blocking trigger sensitive pages. You set the trigger type to page view, but you tell it to fire on some page views.
Okay.
You then set a rule. Page path contains banking, or page path contains patient portal. You can even use regular expressions to capture a wider net of sensitive URLs if you need to.
Nice.
Then you go back to your LinkedIn Insight tag. You keep the standard all pages firing trigger, but down at the very bottom, you add your new blocking trigger as an exception.
Oh, so Tag Manager evaluates the rules against each other.
Exactly. It tries to fire on all pages, but if the URL contains that sensitive path, the exception overrides the firing sequence and actively blocks the tag from initializing.
You literally build a firewall inside the container. I love that. Okay, so keeping the wrong data out is one thing, but getting the right data formatted perfectly is another. And we are entering the home stretch here. We have all our pixels deployed safely, but now we hit what I think is the final boss of tracking architecture.
The taxonomy gap.
Yes, because every ad platform describes the exact same user action in a completely different language. Let's talk about how these platforms expect to actually see data.
Well, if you look at Google's ecosystem, so Google Ad Dynamic Remarketing and Google Analytics 4, they use a naming convention for events called snake case.
Which means?
It is entirely lowercase, and spaces are replaced by underscores. So a purchase event is just the word purchase, all lowercase. Adding an item to a cart is added to cart with underscores.
Okay, so that is native GA4 schema. It's clean, it's lowercase. What does Meta want?
Metapixel uses title case. No underscores, no spaces, and the first letter of each word is capitalized. Capital P, purchase. Capital A, capital T, capital C, add to cart.
I am assuming these are not interchangeable. Like, if my website spits out the lowercase word purchase and I just pass that raw word into my meta tag,
yeah,
what happens?
Meta receives the word, but it treats it as a custom, unrecognized event string. It completely fails to recognize it as a standard event. And standard events are the lifeblood of the platform.
Because they power the algorithms.
Exactly. They are what trigger the automatic audience creation, the value-based bidding algorithms we talked about earlier, and the standard conversion attribution modeling. If you send the wrong capitalization, you sever the connection to all of that machine learning.
So wait, if a user buys a pair of shoes on my site, I need to send the lowercase purchase to Google and the capitalized purchase to Meta. Do I have to go to my engineering team and ask them to write three different tracking scripts on the website for every single button click? Because if I tell a developer to code the exact same event three different ways just to satisfy different ad platforms, they are going to laugh me out of the room.
And they absolutely should. Writing platform-specific code directly onto the website is incredibly inefficient. It slows down page load times, and it is an absolute nightmare to maintain.
So what's the fix?
The masterstroke fix here is to utilize the data layer as a single source of truth.
Okay, for anyone who hasn't dug deeply into the code before, think of the data layer as basically an invisible spreadsheet sitting in the background of your website. When a user buys something, the website writes all the transaction details, the price, the currency, the items, and the event name into that invisible spreadsheet, just waiting for GTM to scoop it up.
Exactly. So your developers only write one push to that invisible spreadsheet. They push the standard native GA4 schema, they push the lowercase purchase, and the transaction value. Your website only speaks one language.
Then how does Meta get its capital P purchase?
Inside Google Tag Manager, you create custom JavaScript variables to act as real-time translators. A custom JavaScript variable is basically a mini script that evaluates data and returns a new value. You just write a very simple lookup table or an if-else statement inside it.
So the script basically says, listen to the invisible spreadsheet. If the spreadsheet says lowercase purchase, output the word purchase with a capital P.
You got it. and you map out all your core events that way. Lowercase add to cart outputs add to cart. Lowercase view DOM outputs view content. You save this translator script as a variable. Then, when you configure your meta tag, instead of typing an event name, you just tell Meta to look at your translator variable.
That is so smart. So instead of writing three different press releases for an event, the website writes one perfect press release in Google's language. GTM picks it up, hands it to our custom JavaScript translator, which then simultaneously reformats it for the Meta embassy, the TikTok embassy, and the Pinterest embassy.
Exactly. Every tag gets exactly the syntax it requires, and you never have to bother the developers for a new platform deployment again.
It separates the data collection on the website from the data distribution in GTM. It keeps your site code incredibly clean and gives you, the marketer, total control over the data formatting.
Which is exactly where you want to be.
Let's bring all of this together. If you want to step up and truly own your performance marketing analytics, it really comes down to mastering these core mechanics. First, protect yourself from maintenance nightmares by using constant variables for your platform IDs. You update the ID once, and it trickles down globally.
Right. And second, respect the ecosystem dependencies. Google's remarketing tag needs the base tag to establish those first-party cookies for cross-browser tracking.
Third, drop the custom HTML habit. Rely on the community template gallery to sandbox your tags and validate your parameters. And remember the ATM rule. Meta's purchase event requires a strict ISO currency code and a float value to fuel its algorithm.
Validate client-side intent with the browser extension, but always, always confirm server-side reality in the events manager. Build compliance firewalls using trigger exceptions for sensitive platforms like LinkedIn.
And finally, bridge the taxonomy gap. Use custom JavaScript variables to translate a single data layer push into the native language of every ad platform simultaneously. That is how you stop waiting for dev tickets and start actively driving campaign performance.
But, you know, here is a concept to mull over as you start rebuilding your own container this week.
Oh, let's hear it.
If you set up this custom JavaScript variable architecture right now, you are successfully translating a single browser-side data layer push into multiple ad platform languages perfectly, right?
Right. We have our universal translator humming along in the browser.
So what happens when you need to scale beyond the browser? Like, what happens when you start dealing with iOS restrictions and you decide to move to server-side Google Tag Manager? Or what happens when you want to start importing offline conversion data directly from your CRM into Google and Meta to optimize for lifetime value?
Oh, I see where this is going. If your foundation is already built on this exact same taxonomy, the shared Rosetta Stone you just constructed, the transition becomes pretty seamless.
Precisely. The logic you just learned for translating browser events is the exact same logic required to map server-side webhooks or CRM pipeline stages into ad platform signals.
Man, how much cleaner and more algorithmically powerful does your entire performance marketing ecosystem become when everything, the browser, the server, and the offline sales floor is speaking off the exact same universal translator? It completely changes the ceiling of what your ad accounts can achieve.
It really does.
It's definitely something to think about. Until next time, remember, don't just sit in the passenger seat of the sports car, pop the hood, and take control of the engine yourself.